You're listening to the Whole Hog Sports Podcast. And now, here's your host, Matt Jones.
Happy Friday, everybody. I am your fill-in host, Christina Long, in the host chair today for Matt Jones, who's on his way to Texarkana for the FHS game. He calls all those games on the radio. Today on the show, Ethan Westerman joins me in the studio to preview tomorrow's game at Memphis, and then we're going to get to some picks from around the college football world. But first, a word from Kendall King.
At Kendall King, we're proud of over four decades of design. We're continuing the legacy of great creative design by combining our brands of Kendall King, Soapbox, and ShopCart. Together, these brands represent a new focus in marketing design with individual attention to specific areas. Through our design expertise supported by a team of talented professionals, we showcase our best. We are Kendall King, we are Soapbox, we are ShopCart, we are design.
Welcome back. I'm joined now by Ethan Westerman in our studio. Ethan is headed to Memphis right after we get done recording this show. We take you behind the curtain. We split up the road trips this year between Ethan and me, excluding Little Rock. We all went to that game. But Ethan volunteered for Memphis. Ethan wanted Memphis, which you're a saint.
I wanted a bye week in between Little Rock. If I had gone to Oxford, like you were in it for the back to back. I was like, I'll take the Memphis trip if you give me a bye. So yeah. It was great last weekend to watch that crazy game from home and to not actually be there. The thought went through my head. I was like, I'm glad I'm not on site for this right now because this is gonna be a long night for y'all. But yeah, no, I'm excited. I've obviously went to Memphis for the Liberty Bowl the past couple times, and so there's some familiarity there. It's always nice going on these trips whenever you kind of know where you're going and know the stadium. But I will say, this is the first time to get to go to that stadium for a Memphis home game.
I think that'll be cool to actually see. I mean, like, hopefully they get a decent crowd. I would think they would get a good crowd. And I think there'll be a lot of Arkansas fans there too. But I feel like it'll be kind of cool to see it for, like, an actual Memphis home game.
For sure. I was looking on, I think, StubHub yesterday, and I was like, you could buy tickets for, like, $80 right now, and it was, like, low availability. So I think it's going to be pretty full. If it's not all the way full, I think it'll be pretty, like, just see here or there. I mean, it's a big game for Memphis. That's the thing that I think people have to realize is, as much as, you know, like, Arkansas State, it was a huge game for them whenever Arkansas played them in Little Rock, and you knew you had to be ready for that. Memphis, I mean, this is huge for them. They're hosting an SEC team at their stadium. There's not a lot of SEC teams that you know, I don't think many have gone there.
I think the last time was, like, 2021, and that was the last time they beat an SEC team. It was Mississippi State. Yeah. They beat Florida State last year, but obviously not SEC. But I think it was Mississippi State in 2021. I wrote something about it. But
yeah, I feel like this is, like, the similar to, like, how Arkansas's had Notre Dame schedules. Like, oh, that's a big home game. Mm-hmm. Like, that's what these schools will do whenever they get, like, an Arkansas. Is like, hey, get ready. In 2025, we have Arkansas coming. And it's going to be a great atmosphere, I think, because, I mean, it's a hop across the Mississippi River for Arkansas fans. So I would expect there's going to be quite a few Arkansas fans there as well. But, I mean, it's going to be a game that I think Arkansas, you know, you start at 11 a.m. and you're going to have a fan base that's been really ready for it. They better come, you know, prepared.
Yeah, I think one thing we've looked at a lot this week with Memphis is their run game. And just between Brendan Lewis and between Sutton Smith and really the kind of whole stable of running backs that they have. I remember we were kind of, when I first started, the way we do our preview stuff, we end up, because of Hogs Illustrated, because of our schedule, we end up doing some research on these games pretty far in advance. So, like, this week I was working on Notre Dame preview stuff. So I've, like, dug into Notre Dame. So last week I was digging into Memphis a little bit. And, you know, when you first look, it's like, oh, one of their lead running backs, Greg, I don't know how you say his last, is it DeRozier? I'm not sure. I've seen his last name. I don't know how you pronounce it. Greg D. I was like, oh, that's their running back and he's been hurt. That's a problem. But then you go look at the stats and you're like, okay, they have several other guys. Sutton Smith is a real strong player. He, I guess, missed most of the year with an injury last year. But he's been really, really good. And so I think I'm interested, what do you make of Arkansas's run defense so far? Because I've had a little bit of trouble, and I was texting you about this during the game last week, where I was like, I don't really know. You know, we do a report card. I was like, I'm struggling with how to grade Arkansas in run defense, because it's been all right, but they haven't really needed, you know, like, Ole Miss has just been able to get everything that they want through the air, so I don't really know how to grade it. And so, you know, I asked Sam Pittman the other day, what do you think of your run defense so far? And he's like, well, it's better than our pass defense. Yeah. But I think this is going to be an interesting test for them. What do you make of kind of how Arkansas might be able to manage this run game, and especially this running quarterback?
Yeah, well, I think that last week it was kind of weird, because we went into that Ole Miss game and you knew that the Kawan Lacy and their running game was a real strength of theirs. But then once the game actually started, like, it really complemented the passing game because Arkansas couldn't defend it. I think this is the first time you go into a game absolutely knowing that this team that Arkansas is playing is going to live and die by the run. Like, we knew Ole Miss under Lane Kiffin, the schematics, the passing game is going to have to be involved. It always is. They try and get outside with the passing game, and they really made Arkansas miss an open space with it. This is the first time that Arkansas is playing a team that if Arkansas can limit their run game, I mean, in a phenomenal spot. And, I mean, I think we felt similarly about that entering Ole Miss, but then once the game started, like I said, you saw how Ole Miss could just expose Arkansas a little bit on the outside once they caught it going toward the sideline. I think Memphis, the difference here is Ole Miss, they love to run it just north and south, just try and run it down your throat. And Arkansas, when they struggled against Ole Miss in the run, it was because they were just missing some tackles. And it wasn't ever really like the big, huge long run, but it was like, you know, setting you up for now second and five. It felt like Arkansas was always behind the chains against Ole Miss because if they weren't picking up a first down on the first play, it was second and manageable. I think Memphis is different because they're going to run the zone read, and the Arkansas defensive ends and linebackers are going to have to be really ready on the outsides. And I think that that's going to be interesting because right now we've seen Arkansas's, you know, their ends and their linebackers try and, like, get so much pressure on the quarterback and just kind of guns ablaze and go in there and try and create, you know, cause some havoc. And I mean, they've been working on it all week to try and keep containment, but they're going to have to be really disciplined this week, I think, to read the quarterback, read the running back, and limit those outside runs. I mean, I'd be surprised if Memphis doesn't have some success on the ground because that is what they, I mean, that's what they do. But for Arkansas, I think the key is going to be, you know, it's one thing to give up a touchdown drive here that Memphis, you know, executed well, but you can't do what happened last week against Ole Miss where it's like, all right, you just know they're going to march down and score over and over. I think Arkansas's got to be good enough in run defense that you force Memphis to pass in a third and long. You force Memphis into those situations that it's not as good as good at. But I think that Arkansas, I mean, the run defense has not been spectacular, in my opinion, but it's definitely, I mean, compared to the passing defense, has been better. So I think but Memphis and Ole Miss passing games aren't, that they're not equal. So I think that Arkansas, if they can get Memphis in those situations, third and long is going to be key.
Yeah, I think something Matt and I talked about earlier this week was, you know, are the things that Arkansas is struggling with on defense, are those things that can be adjusted easily in season? Not necessarily easily, but things you can just kind of practice through and work on. And I kind of think yes, because I don't see it right now as a talent issue. I feel like it's more things that they can work on and that they can adjust to. Is that kind of what you feel? Because I feel like a lot of the things that you just mentioned are things that they can take what just, you know, they can learn some stuff from what just happened and they can look at it in practice this week, look at it on film, work on it, and hopefully see some improvement. And there's in-season improvements and adjustments they can make. Whereas sometimes I think you get into situations where it's a personnel issue or, you know, a skill issue, basically. Yeah. And I don't feel like that's the case here. Is that your read on it?
Yeah, yes, I think the jury's still out, but I think that last weekend what was so disappointing for Arkansas was it was like they were just doing things defensively to hurt themselves. It wasn't like, I mean, Sam Pittman's mentioned it this week. They kept on trying to play chess with Lane Kiffin and make all these checks, and you could tell, like, just watching the defense try and get lined up in a line, I was like, you know, people hate to hear excuses for why a defense didn't do good. I think there is some validity here, though, as far as, like, they were out of sync. Like, it felt like up until the snap, and Ole Miss just kept on making them pay for it. There's some things that they're going to have to clean up that were not pre-snap. I mean, like, you can't be taking such poor angles in the open field.
That's just execution issues.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of things that I think that you can just make real quick improvements of how we're going to go about doing this. I mean, Sam Pittman said this week they were trying to simplify things. I think that if we see a lot of defensive improvement, I think it'll be because you see a defense that just kind of feels more, they were so discombobulated last week. It felt like, I think that it starts with just, you got to see that they're a little bit more organized before the snap. And I think you got to rely on your linebackers to maybe step up in a leadership role, because I mean, they're the green dot too. They put Xavier Sori and Steven Dix with the green dot a lot. I think those guys have got to take it more upon themselves to just really kind of right the ship right now.
I think one of the positive things that has gotten lost a little bit, but has been shouted out and mentioned here and there, is the improvement Arkansas has had on the offensive line and what a good start that they're off to. How do you kind of see this matchup with Memphis? Because Memphis has some talented defensive players. Now, obviously, their roster, generally, the talent level is going to be and should be less than an SEC program. But Memphis is not, you know, this is not Arkansas State. You know, this is not that kind of group of five or six team. How do you kind of see how Arkansas's offensive line might be able to deal with some of these players, especially a couple of the edge rushers they have?
Yeah, I've been, I mean, Arkansas's offensive line, Sam Pittman said before the season, he said, we put a lot of money into the offensive line. And it's proven so far to be a good investment, because Taylen Green's been kept a lot more clean. It's been really, if you're thinking about like strengths of this team from what we've seen so far, obviously quarterback plays probably number one with Taylen Green. You like what your receivers are doing. I think O-line though is right up there with them. Like, I mean, you've been really pleased with it. The thing about Memphis, they're going to bring a lot of blitzes, and they're going to do it in ways that require your running back to really have to step up and pass pro. So this week, that's what I'm going to be interested in, is how many, if Taylen Green gets sacked, you know, two or three times, how many of those were on the offensive line? How many were on the running backs? In week one against Alabama A&M, that was good for them to have that game, because Alabama A&M, albeit, you know, very large talent gap between them and Arkansas, they did a lot of schematics that made your running backs have to step up and try and pass protect, and Arkansas didn't do a good job that game.
Mike Washington has improved a lot in that since then.
Yeah, Mike Washington's improved that. Braylon Russell's one that they've been, like, really... I mean, if you ask them who's your best pass pro guy, they love to say Braylon Russell for the past 2 years. And I think he didn't have a good performance in week one. He's gotten better as well. I think this week for both of those guys, Mike Washington, Braylon Russell, this will be a real test of how far have you come in that. Sam Pittman said that this week they'd been working a lot in individual drills on pass pro, getting the running backs ready to be ready to see those different looks coming. He said the thing about Memphis too is it's really unpredictable where the pressure is coming from, so you got to be quick to pick up a guy, quick to, you know, put your body in there and protect the quarterback. So I think Arkansas, they should be able to handle this Memphis defensive line, as far as just the five on five offensive line or 5-on-4, whatever. But it's really the running backs this week where it's going to be, I think, decided on how good of a job they do protecting.
I think it took me a while this week to kind of, for it to sink in a little bit how significant this game is for Arkansas, because this is kind of where your record can maybe break one way or the other, because, you know, you need to win your non-conference games. Obviously, you have the really hard one in Notre Dame that is not at all a guarantee. You're probably not going to be favored in that game. I guess you could be, if depending on what Notre Dame does this weekend, since they've gotten off to kind of a poor start record-wise. But, you know, you need this to get to the record you want to get to, which, you know, different people have different ideas, but, you know, you got to at least get the six. Yeah. And if you don't get this one, it gets way harder. And that's, you know, you always want to win. You need to get these early season games. But I think especially when you look at, this is kind of your last call for, like, you, this is a game you should win. You know, like, this is a game that you would pencil Arkansas in as a winner. This is like you are expected to take care of business here. This is the last one of those before you get it to Notre Dame and then the rest of SEC play, where you might not be favored that often, or you're going to have games that are going to be tougher, and that you can't just kind of chalk up as a win. And so I feel like it didn't hit me until like middle of this week about, like, oh, this is a very big game.
Yeah.
Like they have to win. And I think that they will. You know, we'll get to our picks later, but I do think that they will. But I think it's interesting to be having a game against, you know, a group of six opponent that is, you know, on the road, that's this early, and be like, actually, this is like, you got to have this one.
Yeah. And I think that more than anything, if you don't win this game, it shakes your confidence in anything Arkansas can do moving forward. It's not only like you said, I mean, it's the last, like, you should win this. You're like, from all aspects, you're the SEC team here. You have the talent advantage. You have quarterback who's having a great season. I mean, this is a game that if Arkansas doesn't win this, who do you feel confident in them beating moving forward? They have to win it. I told this to somebody yesterday. I said, this feels to me like the same way I felt last year going in the Mississippi State game, albeit this Memphis team could beat that Mississippi State team last year. That Mississippi State team was bad. But what I was getting at is it was a very low reward game, but high risk. Like, you had to have it. If Arkansas drops that game at Mississippi State last year, that whole season burns to ashes. I mean, it's you just couldn't lose that one. That's how I feel about this week's game. Like, they have to win this one. If you don't win this one, I mean, crazier things have happened. You think about that 2015 team that lost to, I believe, Toledo and Texas Tech early in the year, and I mean, it was a terrible, bad record, and they figured it out miraculously against the harder part of their schedule, had a good finish. This, I don't think that we're at a point in the season where if that you can lose to Memphis, though, this week. I don't think that's happening with this team. I just think that we're in a different era of college football right now to where it's like you kind of got what you've got. And, I mean, your roster changes year to year. And it's not like that team where you had a bunch of guys who'd stuck it together and they'd been there for years together. And, you know, they could – it's not like they hadn't been through hard things before. You've got teams now that, like, hey, this is our 1 year playing with each other. Like, it's very strictly business, in my opinion. I mean, they form bonds. They get close. I think that still happens even on these kind of, you know, one-stop shop, I'm finishing my career here teams. But it's different in the fact that I think right now with everything that comes with, you know, the pressure to perform now that they're, you know, there's athlete compensation and all this stuff. Like, if you lose this game, and the negativity will creep in. It would... probably just implode, I would think, like maybe the togetherness. It'd be hard to keep a team together by dropping this one. And I think that's more than anything, like what Arkansas's got to be able to get to its bye week, I think, going into the Tennessee game with a team that's still together and thinks it can do stuff in the back half of the season. But yeah, you got
to
have it.
And I think even if you lose to Notre Dame next week, I think you still have that, because that's a game that, you know, like, you know, that's gonna be hard. You're not gonna be expected to win that game necessarily. Again, it might change depending on what Notre Dame shows this weekend. They haven't gotten off to the start that we kind of thought that they would, but I still don't think they're a bad team. I still think they're probably better than Arkansas right now. And so I think even if you lose that game, especially if you're able to be competitive, I think you can still go into that bye week feeling pretty good. And I think that bye week comes at that's a really good time. I kind of didn't realize it until the season started and I was looking more at the schedule, you know, looking more closely at the schedule, and I was like, that is ideal. When they've got that slotted in. So I don't know. I think this is a big game. I do expect them to take care of business, and we'll talk about that more in detail later, but I think more than you would maybe guess for a game like this, this is a little more stressful, I think, than you might guess.
As far as, like, risk, this one has, like, all sorts of exclamation marks. It's, like, high risk, low reward. Like, I mean, it is very much just a simple trap. It's I mean, similar to Arkansas State, it's, mm-hmm. like, what does Arkansas gain out of winning this game other than they won a
Memphis
game that
is a good, you know,
to.
Memphis is a better win than Arkansas State, and
very
they're a better
so.
Team.
But they're also more of a risk, in my opinion.
But it's like, if you beat them, it's like, whoop-de-doo, you beat the team you were supposed to beat. You know, it's not like that... It's something, but it's not like, oh, look at what Arkansas did, you know?
They're a different, like, Arkansas State was a risk in the fact that you cannot lose to Arkansas State. Like, there's no recovering from that. Memphis is a risk that it's like, okay, this team's really good. Like, look at their past 2 or 3 years. I don't care who you're playing. If you have that 25 of your last 30 games you've won your last 9 at home, I don't care who you are. You're a good team and you have good coaching. You see it, like, this is why you put stock into these mid-majors in the March Madness. If you see that they took care of business all the time in their regular season, like, they can beat a team on the right day in March Madness because they just had the better day. I mean, it's like, you can't ignore just because of who they faced, who they beat. I mean, and also the American, it's not like slouch opponents all the time. Arkansas played UAB last year, a team from that conference, and was not Arkansas's best game. It's just, you've got a Memphis team that knows how to take care of business and has proven it, and they're going to be ready for this game. So it's, like I said, a lot of exclamation marks on the, like, risk factor of this game, because you got to have it, but it's not like you're playing some just little old Memphis. I mean, this is a team that was in college football playoff talks last year for a lot of the year.
Yeah, I thought they were going to get that G5 playoff spot last year, and then I can't remember what game they lost near the end that kind of tripped them up. But
it was maybe like UTSA or something.
I think,
they lost twice last year to Navy and to, I think, like, UTSA, mm-hmm. and they were both close games, and, like, Memphis was dangerously close to, like, having a season with no losses.
Well, and then they killed Tulane's G5 playoff spot dreams, right? Because they beat them. Didn't they beat them? They won the American, right?
Yes. Yeah. I believe it was a crazy year last year tracking who was going to get that bid for – for the
It was like
G5.
Probably Boise, but then Tulane was in there. There was and then like Army was in the mix, right? Because Army had that like dream season.
Yeah.
It was so crazy. I hope we get some more like, intrigue like that again this year.
Yeah, they beat they lost to UTSA 44-36 and lost to Navy 56-44.
Okay.
So there's those two losses, they went 11-2, beat West Virginia in the Scooter's Coffee Frisco Bowl. So,
wow. I don't know if I remembered that it was the Scooter's Coffee Frisco Bowl.
I'm not sure I remember that either, but hey, this is a team that they, I mean, they're used to winning is the whole thing. Like, it's, if there's a culture of winning in your locker room, and I was seeing photos of Sutton Smith in 2022, and I was doing a little search to find photos of him, I'm like, all right, this is a team, they've got their best back has been there. I mean, this is a, there's a culture of winning in that locker
yeah.
room.
And they retain players well. I mean, they have a good amount of NIL money. For the level that they're at, they're near the top of the group of six.
Yeah.
We keep debating whether we need to call it group of five or group of six.
I'm going with six.
I keep changing it to group of six because it technically is. Like,
yes.
The Pac-12 is like, it's still a conference. And then next year, it's adding all those teams, so it's going to be more like a real conference. But like,
yeah.
It's technically six.
Right now, yeah, it's like right now you have the five firm, and then you have the whimper of the Pac-12.
You have
that
like,
you're like, okay, y'all
you're
are
like holding on that, but it is technically six.
It's like
right?
If y'all aren't in the five, what are you?
Right.
Like if I've been calling
like,
it six.
I know. I feel like there's not like a media consensus, but I've been changing it to like when we write stuff, I've been changing it to six.
I'm
like it is six.
I'm calling it six.
Me too.
I'm calling it six. And I actually, Matt wrote group of five in a story the other day. I changed it to six. I said, hey, just letting you know, I changed it to six because I have a strong conviction about this. So.
Did he protest?
No, he didn't.
Okay. I thought maybe he would hold to five.
No, I didn't know how it would go, but I said, hey, listen, I have a conviction that it should be six right now because we can't just ignore that there is
correct.
A sixth thing. Anyway,
yeah.
I always do this on this show. I literally take us so off
topic. It's okay. I do the same thing, and then Matt scolds me, but I'm like, we're just having fun. It's okay. The Pac-12 thing is funny. I feel like I wish the Pac-12 for these last couple of years that it's just been the two teams, they should be naming a champion.
Oh, yeah.
They haven't, but they should. Why
It'd
not?
Be so funny.
It'd be hilarious.
And
lean
hang
in.
The banner.
Lean in. Yes, lean in.
Yes.
This is fun and silly. When are you going to have this happen again? you're okay now. You know you're getting some teams next year. You know you're going to be a league that continues to exist. The anxiety is mostly past. Like, let's have a little fun, right? Come on.
No, I feel you. I'm so glad that it's still going to exist, too.
I know.
I'm like,
I
come
will
back
tell you what,
better than ever before.
I will tell you what. I do not know who is in the Pac-12 next year. I have no idea.
I have like a floating idea, but I could...
Is Boise's... Going.
I think. There's a lot of them that I'm like, I think, but maybe. I'm like, basically, if you're a Mountain West team right now, I'm like, I think you're
probably
going to Pac-12.
Going. There's a few that aren't, and then the Mountain West is adding about, I don't know. That's going to be one that, like, on the first week of games, I'm going to be like, surprise, this is the Pac-12. Yeah. Like, this is a Pac-12 game.
I feel like we're just going to, over time, take a conference and, like, eliminate another one for a little bit until you can backfill that one.
Yeah.
And finally, it's going to be like, what is the final conference that's just like, all right, we're waving the white flag. Like,
yeah, I don't know.
Exterminate us. Pac-12 didn't give up. Pac-12 didn't give up. I mean, they kept fighting and they got it. Now Mountain West, what are you going to do? And then after that, I'm like, what are we going to get down to? Are we going to get down
chairs.
To the GAC, you know, Henderson State OBU?
Oh, wow.
Like, when is it going to stop?
Oh, my gosh.
But anyway.
Well, after this next break, we're going to come back and talk some more football from around the country. We're going to pick a few of the top games this week. It's kind of a weird slate, but we'll get into that in just a second after another word from our sponsors.
At Kendall King, we're proud of over four decades of design. We're continuing the legacy of great creative design by combining our brands of Kendall King, Soapbox, and ShopCart. Together, these brands represent a new focus in marketing design with individual attention to specific areas. Through our design expertise supported by a team of talented professionals, we showcase our best. We are Kendall King, we are Soapbox, we are ShopCart, we are Design.
Welcome back. Ethan and I are going to get into our picks for some of the top games this weekend. But first, I want to tell you about our friends at Bentonville Glass. They've been serving their community since 1971, and they are committed, professional, and versatile. If you're looking for a quality leader in Northwest Arkansas, and if you're looking for skilled craftsmanship, you can look no further than Bentonville Glass for all of your glass market needs and the highest quality products. You can visit them at 507 South Main in Bentonville or at BentonvilleGlass.com. We thank Bentonville Glass for their support, as always. So, this is a weird weekend of games. There's not that many great ones. There's a couple of interesting ones. There's a couple ranked unranked games. But overall, I had a little bit of trouble trying to pick these yesterday when we were texting about what games we were going to pick. But I want to start with kind of a big one, which is number 17, Texas Tech at number 16, Utah. This one's at 11 a.m. Central on Fox. And Utah is a 3.5-point favorite. You and I talk a lot about our SEC crushes, like schools that if we weren't from Arkansas, or if we didn't cover the SEC or whatever,
yes,
and we just like wanted to pick a team to be into, or like a fan community to be part of, we talk about our SEC crushes. Utah is one of my just like college football crushes.
Yeah.
I love Utah. I don't have a great explanation. I just really like the brand of football that they have played for the last several years. And I just think that they have such a reputation of toughness and a hard-nosed program that knows how to win. And I just really like them. This game is so interesting because it's basically, you know, a Big 12 championship game early. And I think I'm picking Utah because I like them, like because I want them to win. And because this game feels like a toss-up. It's really evenly matched. Like I said, Utah's only a 3.5-point favorite. Both teams have destroyed all of their opponents. They both have scored a lot of points. They have not played close games. What do you make of this matchup?
Yeah, I'm kind of, you know, the Big 12 is in a weird state now, to where I think each year there's going to be like a handful of teams. I think it's going to be one of the more compelling races every single year of who can win it, because it's a bunch of these teams that are like kind of unknown commodities as far as like how they're going to stack up against, like once they get the college football playoff and beyond. But this is, like you said, a game that I'm like, early on, could this be an elimination game for a team to win the Big 12? Will it prove to be that way? You know, I've gone back and forth with this. I like Texas Tech's offense. I think the Utah, it's kind of interesting right now because they were so impressive beating UCLA week one. And now
UCLA is terrible.
You're like, does that mean anything? Which I like Texas Tech's offense a lot. I like Utah being at home, though. And like you said, that culture of toughness that they have. I think I'm going to pick Texas Tech.
I kind of think Texas Tech is going to win, but I want Utah to win, so I'm picking them.
I'm about to say, I just go back and forth, but I just think that right now, Texas Tech's offense is really humming. And I mean, this is one that we don't really, the same way I felt about Arkansas going to Ole Miss, I'm like, we don't really know how either of these teams is going to do until this game, because kind of their schedule to this point, even though, you know, UCLA did kind of look like it might be something that you could learn from. But I think that Texas Tech right now, like I said, I just really like their quarterback. And I think that they have what it takes to go in there. 11 a.m. game is also pretty favorable. If you're going to be a road team, to go in and play it at 11 a.m. is nice.
That's an early game local time.
Yeah.
It's in Utah.
Yeah, it's going to be very early over there. So, I'm going with the Red Raiders.
Next game is a little bit of a letdown after that big ranked unranked Big 12 championship preview. Syracuse at Clemson. I picked this one because A, there's not that many good games this weekend, and B, because I am just so interested in Clemson right now. It's like the car crash you can't look away from. We got another like special Dabo rant this week, which everybody kind of talked about, but I feel like if you've paid attention to Clemson before, which I covered them for a season, he says, like, this has become the yearly thing. Every year, he delivered all the lines. He played all the hits. He delivered all the lines that he's delivered every year for the last couple years since they've been a little bit, you say down, they've still won a lot of games, but down relative to how they had been in terms of, like, competing for national titles. And he played all those hits. None of that was new. He just said it in a more emphatic way than he typically does. And it kind of turned into, like, a Dabo rant, which everyone always likes to observe. I put this on here because I want to watch this game because of how bad the Clemson vibes are. I do think Clemson is going to win. That is not a bold take. This is also at 11 a.m. on ESPN. Clemson's a 16.5-point favorite. That seems kind of big to me. I mean, I don't think Syracuse is great, but I feel like I have liked them under Fran Brown. I think they've had some kind of surprise games. They played that bad game against UConn where he made them run afterward, which was pretty funny. But I think, you know, I like Fran Brown. I think that they've been able to surprise some people, like I said. And Syracuse has given Clemson some problems in recent years. Obviously different teams, a different coach, but they've played some close games. And I wrote these down. In 2021, Clemson only won by 3. In 2022, they won by 6. 2023 was not close. It was 31-14, and then they didn't play last year. But they've had some interesting games. Syracuse, you know, you just, I feel like you can't totally count them out. I do expect Clemson to win. I think most people are, I'm assuming you're going to pick Clemson. But I kind of, if I were doing a spread pick, I might pick Syracuse.
Yeah, no, I think that, yeah, it's funny hearing Dabo do his, is it Dabo? Or
it's Dabo.
Dabo. I call him Dabo Dabo. It's like Calipari Calipari. it just depends on what my brain is doing at the moment. Dabo. I listened to the rant about, like, are y'all just tired of winning? Yeah. I mean, this was like the second time in a week because Brian Kelly kind of did it to LSU reporters mm-hmm. on Saturday Night too, that I heard a coach basically say, y'all are spoiled. You're watching a good program and don't have questions about us.
Yeah.
But I think this is I think this is the week that they kind of get some momentum rolling because I think this is their schedule over the next 3 weeks. Syracuse at North Carolina, at Boston College. That's a great stretch to try and get back on track. I think that they're focused this week and they win this game, but I do think it's going to be... I don't think this is a very good Clemson team, and I think that... I don't know if they can recover from the 1-2 start to the year, but if there's going to be a stretch where they can at least show some signs of it, it's now, and I think that they'll handle business against Syracuse.
The crazy thing about the ACC is that you could... You know, it's still totally possible for them to make a run and win... Like basically win out. I mean, do they have Miami? I don't remember.
They
who
have
else.
Florida State.
They have Florida State. Okay, so that's your toughest.
And they have
game,
always
probably.
South Carolina, which is
yeah.
funny.
Yeah, and they've gotten Georgia Tech behind them and lost, obviously. Yeah. But I think you know if you can win out, which is a big ask for them right now. But as far as an ACC schedule, it's not as hard as it might be for some people. You're still right there where you want to be. You're still in that conversation.
If we're sitting here in the seat and you tell as an Arkansas, this is your remaining schedule. What do you think Arkansas's win total is? You tell Arkansas, all right. Syracuse, North Carolina, Boston College, SMU, Duke, Florida State, Louisville, Furman, South Carolina. I think Arkansas fans are like, let's only lose two.
Yeah, I think that'd be possible.
And that's what, you know, Clemson faces a lot of years is just kind of that ACC schedule. And this year, I mean, they're getting a lot of those bottom teams too. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, with the Boston College, North Carolina, obviously, we watched them versus TCU is not... They're not in a good shape right mm-hmm. now to have a good season. But, yeah, I think Clemson could bounce back. But it's funny because it's like a bounce back in Clemson terms. Like their fan base wants to be in the playoff, compete for a championship. I'm like, this bounce back might be getting into a bowl game that's not embarrassing.
Mm-hmm. Our next game is Tulane at Ole Miss. I think Ole Miss is number 13 now. That one's at 2:30 on ESPN. And Ole Miss is a 13.5-point favorite. I was feeling spicy. We do our picks for the newspaper earlier in the week, and I was feeling spicy, so I picked Tulane. I'm going to stick with it. I'm not, like, super confident, but they're coming off a win over Duke. It was 34-27. That was kind of an emotional win for them, given the whole quarterback situation. And I think, you know, Ole Miss seems like he's going to play Chambliss again, who obviously was impressive against Arkansas. But I do think Tulane's defense might be better than Arkansas's, at least better than how Arkansas's was last week. They are significantly better in defensive efficiency when you look at, I just looked at ESPN's FPI efficiency ratings, and they're in the 50s and Arkansas is like 97. Now, obviously, a lot of what factors into that is Arkansas's performance against Ole Miss last week. So maybe Ole Miss drags Tulane down. You know, if Ole Miss can score a bunch again, they drag Tulane down to the same level. But I think it's possible. I like I said, I'm not confident. I mostly was feeling spicy yeah. when I picked Tulane. But I think their offense is good, and I think it's within the realm of possibility.
Yeah, no, I agree. It's funny because as much as this week has been talked about Arkansas's defense is bad, like Ole Miss fans are saying the same thing because Arkansas torched them. I mean, Arkansas had more total yards than Ole Miss had that game, if I'm not mistaken. I think Ole Miss wins this one, but I do think Tulane keeps it pretty close. Tulane's a good program. I mean, I feel the same way about them as I do Memphis as far as I'm like, you've just gained respect that like, with your coaching staff, like you're going to have a team that can compete. I'm expecting Ole Miss Tulane to go very similarly to Arkansas Memphis. I know we haven't picked Arkansas Memphis,
yeah.
but I'll have Ole Miss winning.
Yeah. The SEC slate this weekend is not particularly exciting. We did our picks, you know, all of our staff picks, and we all picked, it was pretty consensus because there's just not that many, like, intriguing matchups.
I feel like, you know, when Arkansas-Memphis is getting the ABC slot instead of ESPNU, you're like, what other games are today?
Yeah, there's not a lot of great ones in the SEC. Going to the Big Ten, number 21, Michigan at Nebraska, 2:30 on CBS. Michigan by 1.5. Mm-hmm. This is literally a toss-up. This is another one where I'm like, well, I think I want Nebraska to win, so I'll pick Nebraska. You know, these teams have both played a power four opponent early, very different ones. Nebraska played Cincinnati and beat them 20-17, and Michigan lost to Oklahoma 24-13. Obviously, Oklahoma is the tougher opponent there. But these are both teams that have played, you know, an opponent that's supposed to, you know, at least in their realm, at least a power four opponent, you know. And Matt and I have talked earlier this week on the show about, you know, the importance of getting an opponent like that in your schedule early to kind of test you. So these are both teams that in theory have been tested, Michigan more so. Nebraska, this was an interesting stat that I read. Nebraska spreads the ball around a lot, and they have 6 players with at least 80 receiving yards, which is tied to lead the country with Boston College and Arkansas.
Wow.
Yeah. That's, fun little fact for you.
That's a good one. give me Michigan.
Okay.
I would love to pick the Huskers because I think that's going to be an awesome atmosphere. They're ready. Super excited. I think that it really helps Michigan that they went on the road already. Mm-hmm. I think that going to Oklahoma prepares you for a hostile environment. If this was maybe week 2, I'd maybe pick Nebraska. But Michigan has taken a loss, and I think they'll have learned from it. Give me the Wolverines. Plus, their quarterback, fun to watch.
Yeah, he's been exciting.
Yeah, he's a physical specimen, too. I'm like, it doesn't make sense, like, how... like how big the dude is and what he's doing out there, but he's fun to watch.
We'll go back to the SEC now for number 22 Auburn at number 11 Oklahoma. This one's also 2:30 on ABC. Oklahoma is a 7.5-point favorite. This was one that I was kind of surprised in our whole staff picks. We all picked Oklahoma. I kind of thought somebody would maybe throw Auburn there. I'm just not an Auburn believer, and I'm not a huge. I'm an Oklahoma skeptic, but I definitely believe in them more than I believe in Auburn. I don't know. I believe in Oklahoma in this game. I think Oklahoma has the better quarterback in John Mateer, though I'm not as high on John Mateer as other people are. I think, you know, he's really fun and I like watching him, but I don't know. I don't know. It's hard. It's like Matt and I talked earlier this week about the Josh Pate list of the top quarterbacks in the SEC, and he was number one. They had Taylen Green number two, and it's like I kind of, when I see him number one, I'm like, okay, I guess. But then it's like, well, I guess I don't know who I would put at number one over him, so sure. And he's a fun player to watch, but I do like Oklahoma better in this game.
Yeah. I mean, that's Jackson Arnold going back into Oklahoma is just an awesome enough storyline. That's a lot of pressure.
It is.
And I'm a big Auburn skeptic, too. I actually watched... Well, everybody else is watching probably much more entertaining games. I was locked into Auburn, South Alabama last week. And that Auburn, I have so many questions about them after that game.
Yeah.
Auburn won 31-15. South Alabama is a good team. But still, they were moving the ball. Paul Petrino, I believe, is the OC at South Alabama, was moving the ball on them pretty well. And I just think Oklahoma... I just think they have the better team. Like, it comes down to that for me, and I think it's a lot of pressure on Jackson Arnold going back in there. I like Mateer. This is a big chance for him to kind of – I think, you know, it was a wake-up call against Michigan to get people to recognize him. But I think if he replicates it in this game, that's whenever – I mean, right now the Heisman talks are wide open, mm-hmm. and he's right in there with them. This could be the game that really – you know, it's on ABC 2:30. People are going to be locked into it. He could really make his name – grow a lot over this weekend.
Number 9 Illinois at number 19 Indiana. This is at 6:30 on NBC. Indiana is a 6.5-point favorite, despite being ranked lower, but it is a home game. I want Illinois. I want this for Brett Bielema. I'm biased toward Brett Bielema when it comes to watching him at Illinois anyway. They have, it's crazy. I was looking at kind of just the ESPN, you know, matchup preview, and it shows you the leaders on both sides of the ball and the stat leaders. They're leaders in terms of, you know, passing yardage, receiving, very similar numbers. I don't know if there's anything to that or not, but I thought that was just something I noted. Illinois has been tested more. They've played Duke and they won. I forgot that it was this big of a score. They won 45-19.
Yeah.
And I think Duke's pretty good. I don't think they're amazing, but they're not you know, they're no slouch. Indiana's defense has been really good, but I just like Illinois in a big spot here. I'm very intrigued by them. I think they could be on their way to a season like Indiana had last year, where you sneak into that. All of a sudden, you're at the end of the year, and it's, oh, shoot, like, they're in the playoff. And they might, they could make some noise. Yeah. So I'm interested in Illinois. I like Indiana a lot, too, though. You know, I think it's been fun to see them, you know, rise under Kurt Cignetti. And So I like them, too. But I'm going with Illinois, but this one was difficult.
It's crazy because if you look at the numbers that these offenses have put up, albeit against usually lower teams, Illinois did it against Duke, too. But you would think that these teams would be scoring in this game, but I think the defense is what's going to take over in this one. I think this is going to be a Sam Pittman slobber knocker. He loves a slobber. I think this is going to be a gross, like, low scoring game. Maybe I'm crazy. I don't even know what the total's 52.5 right now. I think it'll be lower than that. I like Indiana here too. I just think that they have such a tough defensive mindset under Cignetti, and I think that this is I got proven by Indiana why you don't do the thing in week 1 where you see a team kind of struggle against a team like Old Dominion and just be like, oh yeah, they're not good this year, because Old Dominion went and wiped the floor with Virginia Tech. I was about to say Virginia Tech, not very good, but still, if you're Old Dominion, they blasted Virginia Tech. So that might have actually been a better win than I was giving Indiana credit at the time. I think Indiana wins. I do think the line being 6.5 feels large to me, though.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, I was a little surprised by that. We tipped our picks a little bit, but Arkansas at Memphis. I think we're both going Arkansas here, which I don't think will surprise many people. I just think Arkansas's offense is going to be too good for Memphis. I think the defense will be better. I think they will obviously look better statistically because they're not playing an SEC team. I don't think that it'll be, I don't necessarily think we'll leave this game going, all right, defense problems fixed. Go to Notre Dame. You got it, But I do think you will see some improvement. You will see some better numbers. And I just think Arkansas's offense is too productive right now. Taylen Green is doing too much for a team like Memphis.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think Arkansas covers this one by quite a bit, actually. I think that it sets up well for Arkansas that the strength of Memphis is running the ball. If Arkansas can't stop their run, like, then you're like, what can Arkansas
stop?
But
that would surprise me if they couldn't.
I think Arkansas can. I think Memphis will have some success, but Arkansas will be able to stop it enough that with the Arkansas offense, I just think Memphis is going to have to be trying to play catch up a lot. Because I think Arkansas will be able to score on them. It's going to be one of those games that I think if Arkansas can shut down the Memphis run early,
just slow it down. They can just, if they can give themselves a window, the offense is going to be able to do more than enough.
You have to put Memphis in a position where trying to catch up with you. I mean, Arkansas has the offense where it could play, reverse roles and come back and win if needed, but it would really, I think you want Memphis to feel in a spot early that are like, we gotta start passing the ball more because we need to score more often, and these long methodical drives won't always work. I think this is a game that Arkansas's defense gives people hope. I'm not saying that, like you said, that problems will be fixed, but I think that people leave this game like, okay, they played better. Same way that I felt, honestly, Arkansas State game. I mean, there were still some issues that game defensively, but like, they did enough there that I was like, okay, I have hope, and then Ole Miss happened. But but yeah, give me Arkansas by 3 scores.
Okay.
But not 3 touchdowns, like 17 points. 2 touchdowns and a field goal.
Yeah. Well, there are our picks for this weekend. We appreciate everybody being with us as we look ahead to Memphis. And Ethan's going to go get on the road, and he will have all of the coverage on site at WholeHogSports.com. The rest of us will be writing from home, but looking forward to watching that game, covering it. You'll have to let us know how the crowd is, especially how the Arkansas contingent looks.
Yes, I will have a report back.
Well, we hope you'll be back with us on Monday. Mac Jones will be back in the host chair, and I think I'll be in Ethan's chair on Monday. So thank you again so much for being with us, and have a great weekend.